The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, today we are ending our sermon series, Jesus Is. We've been going through all of the different characteristics of who Jesus is. As we've been looking at the different characteristics, we've been focusing on that we need to be more like Jesus. And I hope and pray that as we have been diving into Jesus, maybe some of you have been listening or heard these stories all of your life. Maybe some, this is the first time. And our prayer is that it has really sunk home and have grasped your heart to truly go and to be Jesus to other people. Today we are going to dive into the last Jesus Is statement. And just a reminder that next week we are going to start our new sermon series next week. 7 words to change your family. And we're going to dive into each and every one of those words that can not only change your family, but change our church and change the atmosphere around us. Now, men, let me talk with you for a second. When Valentine's Day hits, or maybe your spouse's birthday, what is it that most of us men buy? Mops. Oh, you're in trouble. Most of the time, we don't buy mops. We don't want to get in trouble. But most of the time, we buy roses. Most of the time, we will come home and bring roses to our spouse, and it lightens up the day. Sometimes we might even do that on days where we feel like, oh, maybe we got ourselves in trouble, and so I'm just going to go out and buy a few roses. But I have to confess something to you today. I don't get it, women. I don't. That we go out and we buy something and put it in a pot that in a week's time, it's just going to shrivel up and die. More likely, I think, men, what we should do is instead of buying a couple of roses, we should go out and buy a rose bush and plant it. Because that rose bush, then every single year, will bring up all of these beautiful roses, after one after another after another. And every year, you won't just have a couple of roses, women, but you will have roses throughout your entire life. Wouldn't that be great? So I don't understand why we go out and we cut the roses off of its vine and then it just dies and shrivels up to nothing. In our text today, we see another I am statement of Jesus. You know where I'm going with this. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, to really look at this section in Scripture in John chapter 15, we have to look at where this is in the context in John. Because we see in John chapter 13 that it talks about the Last Supper that Jesus had. So we know this is in the last hours of his life before he died. We also see in chapter 18 that Jesus was arrested. So chapter 13, the Last Supper. Chapter 18, Jesus was arrested. All in between, if you look at your scripture, and if your scripture has those red letters of Jesus, you will see that all of the other pages in between are red letters. They're the words of Jesus. Let me ask you this. If you knew that your time was limited, if you knew that you were only hours before death, and you were with your family and friends, what would you say? What would you do? hear these are these words of Jesus hours before he died. And it was in the middle of this in John chapter 15 that Jesus says these words, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is the vine. His Father is a gardener. Raise your hand if we have some gardeners here today. We have a couple of gardeners, people who love to garden. What does a gardener do? Well, a gardener makes sure that the soil is perfect. A gardener makes sure that the sunlight is just right, that it doesn't get too much or too little, that it's put in the right place. The gardener makes sure that the water is just right, that it doesn't get watered too much where it will drown it. It doesn't get watered too little where it will be starving for water. But the gardener makes sure that everything is right for growth. And when the gardener is doing all the right things, guess what happens? The vines grow. And so Jesus is declaring here, I am the vine, but I can do nothing without my Father, who gives me the strength, who makes sure that the soil and the water and the sunlight and everything around me is perfect so I can grow. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. Let's keep on reading in John chapter 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, so we have Jesus as the vine, God is the gardener, and we are the what? Branches. What does a branch do? A branch is connected to the vine. Right? And so the vine is connected to the gardener. And when all three of those things are connected perfectly, guess what happens? Fruit. Have you ever seen a wonderful apple tree and how fruit just grows out of it? Every year we try to go to an apple orchard and pick the apples. And it's amazing to see the fruit that the trees have. Why? Because they have special people that take care of the trees. And then the trees have strong vines. And the vines gather strong branches around them that the fruit is producing, or that produces the fruit. We are the branches. We are connected to Jesus. So there's something powerful when we are connected to Jesus, who is connected to God, and something powerful happens through us. The problem is this. Sometimes we are not connected. Or sometimes we lose our connection. Sometimes we have the attitude, and you see it all the time. I even see it in my own life sometimes. You have the attitude of, well, I can do this. Maybe you're going through a rough time in life. And you have the attitude of, well, I'm just going to put my head down and go through it because I can get through it. And when you go through that, you're saying, I can do this. I don't need to be connected to the vine. I don't need to be connected to the other things because I can do it. Our 2.5-year-old daughter, Autumn, says all the time when she tries to do something and we try to come over and help her, and she'll say, no, I do, I do, I do. She wants to do it on her own. And the truth is, we do that too. Where sometimes God's hand might be even trying to come over and help us. And what we say is, no, God, I can do it. I want to do it the way that I want to do it. I do. I do. I do. And when we try to do things on our own, it's exhausting. And it's always going to fail. Do you see what the scripture says? No branch without the vine can succeed. You cannot do anything on your own. When Tiffany and I were just married, we went on our honeymoon to the Mackinac Island. If you haven't been to the Mackinac Island, it's on the very northern tip of Michigan. And this Mackinac Island is this special island where the people, where they don't allow any motorized vehicles on the island. Mackinac Island is, they basically made this road all the way on the outskirts of the island, which is about 7 to 8 miles long. And so most people, when they go and visit the island, they will rent a bike, or they will do a horseback ride or whatever it may be to go around the island, since there's no vehicles or anything like that. So Tiffany and I thought on our honeymoon, this is going to be a fun time. And here's a picture that we have that we thought it would be fun to rent a tandem bike together. And all right, so we just started marriage, and let's rent a tandem bike, and we are going to go around Mackinac Island in these 7 or 8 miles, and it's going to be a joyful time. Well, we did, and we started to ride. And I'm in front, as you see, Tiffany's in back. And as we started to ride in the first mile, I started to really get winded. I was tired. And I'm only 1 mile in, but I'm thinking to myself, I'm the macho new husband. I kind of puffed my chest up a little bit and say, Paul, you have to get through this. You cannot show your weakness to your new bride. So I put my head down and I started to pedal faster. And I started to sweat even more. And at this time, there were even little kids flying by us. Elderly women flying by that have the little things on their bike that goes ding, 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 and waving. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me. I cannot show my new bride that I am about to die. At this time, I think she notices, and as the nice new bride that she was, she said, oh, I feel like I might need to stop for a second. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, if you need to stop, I think we can. And so we stopped, and I tried to get my breath. And at the time, I knew that it couldn't have been me. Maybe the bike was broken. So I started to look at the bike. Maybe we had a bad bike. Maybe we had bad tires. But something just wasn't right. So even Tiffany said, well, you know, we can just go back if you want. And I'm like, no, get back on the bike. I got to show you how macho I am. And so we got back on the bike and we started to go. And right away, I'm starting to get tired again. And I'm like, what is going on? And then just out of nowhere, it was like someone flipped the jet switch and the bike just started to zoom. And I'm thinking, what just happened? And I heard Tiffany in the back say, oh, I never knew I can help you pedal. God gave me patience. She hates when I tell this story. She just looked at me and said, you owe me some more money. More roses. I owe you a rose bush, honey. But the point of that story is this. Many times in life, we are riding this tandem bike and we're trying to do it on our own. And we're not connected. And when we do it, we get exhausted and we get tired. Maybe some of you today feel exhausted and tired because you're trying to do it on your own, because you're not connected to the vine. When Jesus is saying, just let me help. Let me pedal you. Let me give you that boost that you need. I am here. I am your vine. I am the one who gives you life to go and to do the things that you need to do. I love it in the scripture when it says, I am the true vine, which tells us that maybe there are false vines, right? And there are. How many times do we try to find life in other things? We try to get connected to other vines, but the truth of the matter is we are still left exhausted and we are still left dying because we're not connected to the true vine who is connected to the gardener. We're connected to all these false vines. We need to be connected to Jesus. So when we are connected to Jesus, who's connected to God, some beautiful things can happen. Fruit. You might ask, well, what is fruit? How do I know that fruit is happening? Well, the Bible tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if we are connected to the vine, guess what bubbles out of us? Guess what is growing through us? It is all of these different characteristics. Now, I haven't interviewed an apple tree before. But if we would ask an apple tree, I'm pretty sure the apple tree wouldn't say, well, this morning I woke up and I put my head down and I tried really hard to grow the apples. No, the apples just come, don't they? Because when the branch is connected to the vine, who is connected to the gardener, you can't help but grow fruit. So when we are connected to Jesus, guess what things come out of us? The fruits of the Spirit. And what happens is the things and the areas around us, we start seeing people being led to Jesus, people who are connected to Jesus. We see that God is working through us to help our neighborhood, to help our workplaces, to help our schools. God is using us. We are his hands and his feet. He's using you. And then the scripture says, what does it say? If the branch is not connected to the vine, what happens? It dies, and it should be thrown away into the fire. That's not my words. These are the words of God. If someone is not connected to Jesus, basically people, it means it's worthless. It's not going to produce the fruit. So how can you be connected? How do you know that you're connected? How can you bear much fruit? These are very simple ways. And you might say and think to yourself, well, I've heard all of these things many different times, but the truth is, yes, we might have heard them, but are we actually doing them? The first thing that we can do to be connected to Jesus is we can pray. When you pray, it connects you to Him. Let me ask you this question this morning. How is your prayer life? How often are you coming before the Lord? How often are you falling at your knees and crying out to Him? How often are you listening? You might hear all the time, well, I know that. I know I need to pray. Well, are you? Because the statistics tell us, it's very alarming, of the time that even Christians spend in prayer today. Are you praying? It's common for us Christians to always say, when someone comes our way and gives us maybe something they're going through, then for us Christians, we might say, oh, I'll pray for you, right? We say that all the time. Do you actually pray? Sometimes that just becomes a habit. Oh, I'll pray for you. And then it slips by and you never do. What if we change the I will pray for you into let me pray with you? And what if you stop what you're doing in your day, because there's nothing more important than that time, if someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm going through this, what if instead of just brushing it off and saying, oh, I'll pray for you, right? What if you change that of saying, well, let me pray with you. Can I do that really quick? And you stop and you pray with them. Then what happens is you connect them to the vine. It is impossible to be connected without a prayer life. We have to pray. And the next thing, you've heard it before, read your Bible. When was the last time that you not just read this, but you dove into it, you dissected it, that it just came and was flowing through your veins, that you couldn't wait to read it more? Sometimes we just wake up and we read this to read it, and there's nothing more about it. How is it changing you? This is the Word of God, people. I don't know about you, but I believe that this book is more powerful than any other book because it connects us to Jesus. It connects us to God. So when is the last time you opened your Bible and you not just read it, but you dug into it? And you took it for what it says. Pray. Read your Bible. And the third thing, after you read, then do what it says. And James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. We even see this if we continue to read. We see this in verse 10. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. We need to keep his commands. Go out and do what it says. Read your Bible and then do it. And when you do this, you connect to Jesus. And then, when you pray, when you read your Bible, when you do what it says, guess what happens? You start loving like Jesus loved. You start acting a little bit more like Jesus. So we've been going through this sermon series, Jesus Is. And yeah, it's great to talk about. But if you are not connected to Jesus, these things won't happen. As a church, Mountford, my prayer and my hope is that we will be a church that is connected to the vine. Which means that every single one of you who are connected to Jesus see this fruit that is bubbling out of your life. And who's going around and who's making an impact in the areas that you are around. That Jesus is living through you. And when people look at you, they see their fruit. They see his fruit that's just living through you, that's bubbling out of you. They see that we are loving like Jesus wants to love. And as a church, if there's anything that we are doing as a church that maybe just we're just doing it to do it, but there's no fruit behind it, maybe as a church we need to maybe cut these things off and allow other branches to grow and to do the things that God wants us to do. He is the vine. We are the branches. It's time for us to get connected. Maybe some of you are here today and you're saying to yourself, I'm tired. The truth is, I've been going and trying to live this life on my own power for way too long. And I'm tired of riding the tandem bike by myself. Allow Jesus to pedal for you. Allow him to give you new life. It's not too late to get connected or to get reconnected. When we are not connected to Jesus, you are capable of any sin. Allow Jesus to work in and through you. As we close, I want everyone to close your eyes, and I'm going to just have you ask yourself and search your heart and ask yourself two questions. So close your eyes this morning. The first question that I want you to ask yourself is, what fruit is being evident in your life right now? What fruit is being evident in your life? Ask God to show you that. Maybe for some, you're seeing a lot of fruit there, and what a blessing that is. Maybe for others, you don't see any. What fruit is being evident in your life? Ask yourself the second question. In what ways in your life can you be connected more to Jesus? Prayer. Reading your Bible, doing what it says, loving like Jesus loved. In what ways in your life can you be connected more to Jesus today? Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we ask that we not just be a church, but Lord, that we will be your church. that we will be a church that is connected to you, O God. And Lord, I pray that you will bring life. Lord, I pray specifically, I feel that there might be some here today that are tired. They're tired of doing things on their own. And they know that they've been doing things on their own. And it's time to get connected to Jesus again. Lord, I pray that you will speak into each and every one of their lives. Lord, and I pray that as a church as a whole, that we will be a fruitful church. That we will see your mighty hand working through us, guiding us. So Lord, we come before you and we say to you right now, we need you. We need you, O God. We need you in our lives. We need you in this place. And we are sorry for trying to do it on our own too many times. So will you come? And will you work through us? And help us to be connected to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last song, as we talk about and sing how we need Jesus, maybe this morning you're just in need of him. Maybe this morning you're saying, I've been trying to do this for too long on my own, and you just need to be reconnected. The altars are open as we sing this song. Let's come before the Lord. And let's cry out to him, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need to be connected to thee. Will you stand and let's sing this again?